Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my name is Kitty Bridgewater, and I'm here with Miss Carolyn Sue Wilson, and I'm conducting an oral interview on behalf of the Southwest Virginia LGBTQ Oral History Project. Today is April 25th, 2008, and we are in Miss Carolyn's home. So, you grew up here in the Roanoke area.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
All right, so why don't we just start about, how about you tell me a little bit about your childhood growing up?
Okay. Well, I'm from West Virginia, a little town called Gary, West Virginia. I was born and raised there. I left at the age of 21, and I came here in Roanoke of 72, April 15th of 72, and this is where I reside at the time being. Mm-hmm.
So, how about your childhood? You moving here, what age did you guys?
I came here when I was 21.
Okay.
Yeah, I came to 21. I always been Miss Carolyn. From 5 all the way up to 67, I always knew the way I was, you know. And I never had any major problem about it, you know. People never, a little bit picked on, but nothing serious. Never have had any problem with it. People, they just accept me as I am, I guess.
Okay, so you are from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, how was your childhood in West Virginia?
That was good. I mean, good. I didn't have any problems there. Graduated, went to school, graduated. Then when I finished school, I went to work for the city of Gary. And worked there for a year. And then from there on, I moved out of town, moved from there.
Mm-hmm. So how about your family?
Family, they accept me very well. I have no problem with them. I have one brother and three sisters, and they accept me as I am. My mother accepted me as I was. She's passed, and my father, he gave me a hard time. But he's passed, too. So I think at the end, he accepted me as me, and that's that. You know, they accept me as I am, and I'm proud. My sister told me, as long as you respect me, I'll respect you. So I said, that's the deal. And that's what she gets.
Okay, so how do you personally identify?
Myself?
Yes.
God. I'm just me. I don't try to be a woman, and I don't try to be a man. I'm just trying to be a human being, you know, just me. And most of the people call me she. And I accept that. And at work, they call me he, you know, naturally. But that's how I present myself. Either one, it doesn't matter to me. You can call me either one. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So when did you maybe realize that you were maybe a little different or...
Oh, God. When I was 5 years old. I always knew, I never knew the word gay until I really came here to Roanoke, really, basically. In West Virginia, they would prefer as you know, sissy or punk or something like that. But I never heard the word gay, queer, none of that stuff until I came here in Roanoke. So that's that.
And how was that transition, like coming to Roanoke and...
Golly, it was amazing. I would walk down the street and I see someone smoke, a child smoking. It would just, God, a little boy smoking. But and then I when I first came here, I came to the Y. I stayed at the Y for about 6 months, and I made beautiful friends. They took care of me, the gay people, you know. They took care of me and everything. And then I started going to the bars and stuff like that. And then I wound up, the first year I started going, I went to Trade Winds, a bar called Trade Winds. I don't know if y'all were too young to remember Trade Winds, but it was on Franklin Road. There was, I think that was the only gay bar here, so I went there and ran a pageant, became second run up to Miss Gay Roanoke, which was exciting. And then, then they closed and it went to another bar called Murphy's, which I never went there. And then Horoscope. Y'all ever heard of Horoscope? Yeah. I started going there, and there I won Miss Gay Roanoke. I was the first black Miss Gay Roanoke. The second and first black. And it was amazing. And then from there, my life just bloomed. I became me. Won a lot of awards, you know. They said I was the first person to go to Norfolk and win first out-of-town entertainment. I won an award in Norfolk. Been around a few blocks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just for the sake of establishing a timeline, let's go back to West Virginia. So, your school days, how was school? I know, you're born in 1950,
mm-hmm.
so that's
mm-hmm.
right around the time of, integration and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So, how was that?
That was interesting. the school I did go to was Gary District, and that was the black school I went to. And then they integrated in 60-something, 67, something like that. So we went to the white school, although black people went to that school, but it was predominant white people. And I had no problem with it. No, I had no problem with it. And I don't think anybody there, any of the black students, had any problems. I was just shocked to come here and hear about riots and stuff. I was going, what? We didn't have that in West Virginia. No, we didn't. And people talked about me. They called me sissy and stuff like that, which it didn't. It wasn't major to me, you know. It wasn't a major thing to me. I had a sister that was very mean, and she would take up for me. You did not mess with me because she would get you. But that was...
So it was a pretty smooth transition?
To me, it was. I had no problem with it, yeah. I had no problem with it.
Okay, what about high school? How was...
High school was about the same.
Yeah.
High school was about the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Graduated, left, got out, yay, come.
Okay. So when you came to Roanoke, how was the, the gay scene? How was, your introduction? When you first got here, what was it like?
Oh, God. When I first got here, I got off the bus with one suitcase, got to the channel, I think it's Channel 10 at downtown, and I asked somebody, where was the Y? And he said, about two blocks up. And I looked down at the ground and said, one, two, I'm not going to be at the Y. So I was sort of, I was green. I was real green. I didn't know what a block was. I didn't know none of that stuff. So I asked somebody else, they said, just straight up the street, go straight up the street and you'll see. And I walked straight up the street and there it was. But when I first, the gay scene, like I said, I stayed at the Y. I met friends at the Y. So they started introducing me to Trade Winds, the bar with Senior First Son. So that started me into my gay life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was amazing.
So you say you moved here when you were 21?
Mm-hmm.
So that's around 70, 71?
71, mm-hmm.
So that's around the time of, the Stonewall riots and, the gay liberation movement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how was that in Roanoke? Was it really present or, were you guys just, hearing about it?
I thought it was just, a hear about it. I didn't participate in stuff like that. I don't fool with that. It's, to me, nowadays, I don't know back then because I never participated. Nowadays, it's too one-sided for me, that stuff they have in the park down there, it's too one-sided, and I don't participate in it. I feel like it's one-sided.
So you said Trade Winds?
Trade
Winds. Was that a place that you frequented?
It was a bar. It was a gay bar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I read something about that. The first gay bar here in Roanoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure enough was.
So what was that like? Was there a diverse, were there, was it mostly gay or were there, straights too?
Some straights came there, but I think it was mostly gay. Mm-hmm. Mostly gay people.
Mm-hmm. Was it gay ownership or?
Mm-hmm. All the guys that owned it, you say don't say names. They're all dead anyway. So they owned it. It was three men that owned it, and they were gay themselves, so there was no problem with that. And it was three parts of it. You had the basement, the middle, and the upstairs. Upstairs is where they did the shows at.
Okay, how was that? The
It was a small place, sort of small place, but it was pretty good. It, when we had shows, it was pretty packed. You know, pretty people wanted to come out and see the girls dressed up.
So you say you made some good friends here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good friends. Very good friends. I mean, they took very good care of me.
Were you meeting them at, like, the YMCA?
Y. I met them at the Y, and they introduced me to everything. The lifestyle, which was interesting. But most of them are gone.
Okay, so what about any other, like, trade winds? I know, like, Elmwood Park was, like, a pretty
big... Elmwood Park was booming back then. You had a diner called Elmwood Diner. It's a little old diner in between, you know, where Anthem is now. That used to be the Moose Lodge. And then Elmwood Diner was there, and then the downtown motel was on the other side of that. It was a motel there where Social Security is. And we all frequent all of that, you know, we went to all of that stuff. And but the park was real festive back then. The park was good.
So I know that you won Miss Gay Roanoke for the second time, and you were the first Black Miss Gay Roanoke. Uh-huh. So how was your introduction to the scene, kind of the drag scene? Is that what you would know you referred to? So how did you, let's set this up. Like, when did you first become, like, interested in, like, how did you
start dressing? Well, I started dressing in West Virginia. I had a real good friend that we dressed, and we would get out on the roads and walk up and down the road, sex silly, and have fun like that. But that's where I first started dressing, really dressing at. Not the makeup, just dress, you know, just put a dress on and run outside and play at nighttime. And then when I really started doing it was here in Roanoke and in my 70s, in the 70s when I started on the track wins. That's when it really popped off to me. Mm-hmm.
So do you remember your first performance?
Yeah, it was in 72, and my first song was Tell Mama. That's the first drag song I did was Tell Mama. I remember I could do it for you now. But that was my first song, and I remember I had on, what did I have on, a white dress, I think it was a white dress. I think it was gold up in here or something like that. It was way back. But I enjoyed my good tips back then. And really, my life started out real good with, my gay life started out real good. People started, you know, respecting me and calling on me and friends, and they liked me real well.
So how did you feel about it? Were you nervous? Like, were you excited?
No, I don't really get nervous when I do. I don't get nervous. And I just say, well, if I do good, I do good. If I do bad, I do bad. So most of the time, I do good, pretty good. Not bragging, but I usually do pretty good. So
I'm assuming there was a pretty good reception.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pretty much so.
So I saw online that you're pretty, like, famous or known for, like, your, like, impressions of, like, Aretha Franklin, Janet Jackson, Patti LaBelle. Okay, let's talk about that.
Oh, God. Oh, let's see. My favorite person, when I first started doing this, I was a Diana Ross freak. I saw Diana Ross 5 times in person, and I was a freak of hers. So that was my first one I really liked. And then I started doing Janet and Patti and, you know, different ones. You know, whatever song come out famous, you know, you usually try to do that song. And so I'm pretty well on that. I got some pictures of her. I'll give you one of them in my crown so you can have a picture of me.
Sounds good. Okay, so 71 you came to Roanoke. What was happening late 70s?
Late 70s, let's see, what was going on? Like Tradewind had been closed, and then I think it's a bar named Murphy's. I'm not really for sure. I never did go there to that one. It was downtown, right down from the Appalachian Power. I never frequent that one. I never go to that one. Then another one called Horoscope Open, and that's the one I started going to. I had the key to it. The guy really liked me, you know, as a person. He liked me. I would go in and organize shows and pageants and everything. So that was the hippest bar in 75. Yeah, in 74, 75, I think. And that's, then after, when it closed, I think the park opened in 78, 77, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work there. I worked at the Horoscope, then I worked at the park too.
So you said you were organizing pageants?
Mm-hmm.
So was it more of like a behind the scenes, or were you in them also?
Oh, no, I'd already, well, the first one we had, I won Miss Roanoke at the Horoscope. And then from then on, he gave me the thing to just go ahead and start organizing pageants and stuff like that. So I started doing that for him. And it was a hip thing back then. Straight and gay came there. Straight and gay. It was really, really hip back in the days.
Mm-hmm. So what led you to enter the Miss Gay Roanoke pageant?
For fun. Just for fun. I just say, well, just dress up and go do it if anything happens. And I did, and we came in second place at that, at the Horoscope. I mean, Trade Winds. Mm-hmm.
So, what is involved in the pageant? Are there like, is it kind of like the Miss America? Like, there are different events and like.
Now, at Trade Winds, it was just dressing up and who looked good. You know, okay. Not pretty or good, just dress good, you know, you look. Look like you just look good. Now, nowadays, at the pageants they have these days, is you have interview, you have talent, and you have gown, and I think that's it, those three.
Mm-hmm. Have you been involved in some of those?
No, I'm already Miss Roanoke. I can't run again.
Okay, I mean, like organizing and things like that?
No, I don't do any of that stuff. It's owned, it's they have rights on this stuff, you know, now. And you have to own it to do whatever you want to do, and I don't do that stuff. It's owned. You have to have a right to it.
So, did you enjoy like organizing the pageants, mm-hmm. and just being a part of that? Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was really, really fun to do that with the people. Crazy, but fun. But when I organized, it was just one thing. You was Miss 10th Street or Miss AM, or you was Miss whoever you wanted to be back then, and you just dressed up in a gown, and I had swimming suit back then, and can you imagine that? But but that's the way I did it, and it had a good turnout, and it was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real good.
So let's talk about kind of like the HIV kind of uprising of that, and how did that touch Roanoke or touch you personally?
It didn't touch. Well, it touched me personally, but I like the things that people do for it, and I do shows for raising money for it and stuff like that. I do that. I know quite a few people that's, you know, this HIV, but I'm concerned about it. I really am concerned about it. And if there's anything that I can, if they would ask me to, you know, I would do it. But, you know, people these days, they're so, like they got the ownership of everything. If you try to organize something for it, they'll knock you down from it. So I just sit back and just wait on you.
Yeah. What about, like, back when it first, like, began?
Oh, God.
Was it big in Roanoke? Like, friends of yours? Like, at the
scene? It was like big. I wouldn't say it was big, but it was known. Mm-hmm. And, you know people. But it wasn't, people really didn't pay any attention to, I mean, they paid attention to it, but it's not like now. You know, it's not worldwide. You know, but people, they paid attention to it, but no. Mm-mm, it wasn't as serious as it is now. I don't think, as far as I know.
Okay, so are you still at this time, are you in contact with your family?
Uh-huh.
Do you visit?
My sister was down yesterday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still talk. I go see them, they come see me and spend the night, and so mm-hmm. Sure.
So, when you got involved with the park, I think it opened in
78 or something like that. Mm-hmm. 34 years ago.
Were you performing when
yes,
you
mm-hmm.
began?
I still performed. Uh-huh. I still performed.
So was it just like the impersonations and
mm-hmm.
things like
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah, sure was. Sure.
What about the other people who were like performing at the time? Can you tell me a bit about like, I don't know, like what was it like or like any of, the, do you still know the people?
Mm-hmm. Do I still do any other people? Yeah. I'm not as active in it now than I was back then. Back then, you turn on the light, I was in front of it. You know, I was there big time in front of the spotlight. But now, that since the bar's closed, I'm not closed, but it took over another, I don't really deal with it, you know, too much. I did a show at the Jeffersons last month. I think last month we did it. And the Miss Gay Roanoke is coming up in June or July the 30th, and I'll participate in that. But really, I don't really go to the park like I used to. 34 years, I've worked there 34 years. Yep, good memories.
So just looking at, like, the gay scene in, like, areas that were, like, gay areas back then in, like, the 70s, 80s,
mm-hmm.
like, did you have any issues with, like racial issues, like gay spaces that weren't allowed for, like, people of color or things like that, or, like,
never.
Just, like, discrimination in the community? No?
Never. Even in West Virginia, where I'm from, never. I never had anything racial. You know, people gonna call you names off and on, but never a big thing like that. No, I never experienced, you know, racial stuff. Never have. Mm-mm.
So you were the first black Miss Gay Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other people of color, like, you know,
oh, yeah.
performing
mm-hmm.
and things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, were, like, was it, per, like, how was, like, the ratio? Like, were there, like, just a few black people and, like, predominantly white, or, like?
When I started, it was just, I think I was the only one back then. And then as it, you know, progressed, it, like, the horoscope was the one that really had a lot of blacks in it. So, yeah, a lot of blacks was in it then. And now, there's still a lot of blacks in it now, but it's prominent more, you know, white girls, boys, girls. Mm-hmm. It's prominent. More of them. I don't know why, but in the south, you know, down like North Carolina and places like that, it's real, you know, blacks are, you know, that's good down that way. But we still have them here, you know, but they don't know if we. I don't know why, but I think it's the interview thing. Excuse me. The interview thing. I think they're not good at interview, you know, which I'm not good at interview. When I did Miss Virginia, I was horrible. I don't know how to talk real good, you know. But I think that's why a lot of them don't win the interview thing. But when it comes to talent, oh, yeah. You better be prepared. I've entertained with the Miss Gay Roanokes and Miss Americas. I've entertained with them and everything. So I'm up there pretty good, but not now. Was up there. Let me put it like that. Was up there.
So you're one of the first. The first black Miss Gay Roanoke. Was that? Would you think of that as like a movement? Maybe like. Did people, like, really respect that, or was that, like, you know, like, wow, okay, we're making it, since there weren't many people of color in the kind of field at the time?
Well, see, when I, like, go back to Trade Winds again, not very many blacks came to Trade Winds back then. You had a few, but not very many, and the ones that accepted me when I first came here was the white people. They, you know, they came to my side and, the black girls, they used to shun, you know, they just wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't deal with me or anything, you know, no kind of way. I don't know why. I don't consider myself any other way but me, so they wouldn't talk to me or anything. So I was predominant. Most of the white girls took me in and helped me out a lot. Showed me the way.
Did that change after you won?
Oh, yeah, after I won and stuff like that. And later on, like Horoscope Days, we came together. They start talking. You know, everybody start talking to me. And after I won and stuff like that, they showed me, you know, that I was welcome. I guess it was scared I was going to take the boyfriend or girlfriend. I don't know, but they just wouldn't have anything to do with me. I don't know why. And I went on with life.
So I know a few of the people that we've spoken to that kind of like talk about you as like, you know, Miss Carolyn, she's a legend. What do you think about that? Do you get that a lot? And
if people used to, but now that I'm not into the scene like I used to be, I loved it. You know, I loved it, and I treated everybody the same. I didn't see any difference in any skin tone or whether what you was, or I'm just that. I'm just me, you know. I accept you as you are. Whatever you are, you are. That's how I look at life. I don't knock you for being a murderer. I don't knock you for being a rapist. I don't knock you for being gay. I don't knock you for being straight. I'm just, that's your life. Deal with your life first. That's just what I am.
Okay. So, 80s. Walk me through the 80s. What's going on? More friends? The scene? Family? Relationships?
Well, I did relationship. I was dating a guy, and we were together for like maybe about a year and a half, and then he went on about his business, and I went on about mine, and I'm happy. I'm content. I don't have any other relationship, but I've been without one for about 17 or 18 years now. I haven't had a relationship, and I'm happy. Very happy. I don't wish I had one either, so I look at it sometimes and say, God, I wish I had a boyfriend. Then I go, no, I'm too happy. You know, didn't ever have bad ones, but you know, you have your ups and downs. And so I guess he went on about his business and I went on about mine.
So
but,
was the dating thing like good? Like in your youth, like
times, very good. I had about 5 boyfriends at one time. Trust me, I had about 5 boyfriends at one time. I don't know how I did it, but I did it, you know. Yeah, and it was fun, but I wound up with one, and that's the one I had. The dating scene was pretty good. Down the, I don't know if you, City Market, downtown. That's where we used to hang out somewhere down in that area, in the City Market, downtown. And then they ran us from down there. They said, get out. And I left.
So, like, did you mostly date, like, people within the community, or, like?
Both. I dated a guy from North Carolina. For about a year, I think. I dated him for about a year. And I think that's the only one I've dated from out of town that I know of. And the rest of them were from around here, Lynchburg, and stuff like that.
So were you working back then?
Mm-hmm. I was working at Woolworth, and then I worked at Lewis Gale. Then I worked at Camelot Nursing Home, but it's called something else now. And I worked at the park. Then I worked at Holland's, it's an assisted living, Holland's assisted living, yeah. So Holland's Matter, that's what the name was. That lost off there for me. Then I'm at North Roanoke assisted living. I deal with mental and physically handicapped people and stuff like that.
So you're a nurse?
No, I'm a director of housekeeping, but I do have a DCA license where I can do nursing. It's a certificate. It's not a license. It's a certificate where I can. It's like a nursing assistant, but if they call them direct care assistant, that's what they do there.
So you mentioned before that you went down to Norfolk, Virginia, and you won some titles. So what titles did you
win? Just best out of town actor or entertainer, best out of town entertainer. It was a good experience. Those people down there, they were hard to please. Oh, they were very hard to please, but I won it, and I said, yay! And I did a pageant down there, and I didn't win that, so back in the days. But it was interesting, though.
Did you notice a big difference in, like, the gay scene in Roanoke and then, like, in Norfolk?
Yes. In Norfolk, they were more bonded, you know, they were more, a little bit more bonded than here. More people. But it was more bonded to me, I think.
In what way?
They were together. They weren't one side, this side, you know, this side over here and this side over there. They were all the people just bonded together. Were friendly with each other, you know, stuff like that. It was interesting.
Did you travel a lot for, like,
I did North Carolina, and I did. We did one in D.C., a show in D.C., and I think that was it, D.C., North Carolina, and West Virginia, did West Virginia, and that was it. But I loved it. I loved traveling, you know.
So were these, like, did they request you to come? Like, they wanted you to come? Or
they would invite me. They would invite me to come. I did, they invited me to do Miss North Carolina pageant. I was a judge. That was hard. That's when the gown, the talent, all of that stuff you have to, you know, judge. And that was a hard pageant to do because those girls, oh, God, they'd come to work. Yeah, they very professional.
You enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. And they're a good community, too. They're a gay community. It's real good.
So what's your favorite, like, of those pageants with the different, like, things going on? What was your favorite, like, maybe category or favorite aspect?
I love gown.
The gown.
I love gown. I was never good at interview. Horrible, but gown and talent, I was pretty good in. I got real high scores for that.
So there's gown, interview. Was there a swimsuit at that time?
No. Back when I did it, it was, but nowadays, Now, they do have a swimsuit in, like, Miss Continental. Those are where girls that have the breasts and stuff like that. They do swimsuit and stuff, but they are so beautiful. I mean, the one walking there, you wouldn't even know it. That's how pretty they are. But these girls pay a lot of money, too, for the cheeks and the hair and the... Yeah, it's expensive. It really is. Dressing is very expensive. You would not believe how expensive it is. Back to the Miss America thing. Those girls, they pay $900 for a pair of shoes, thousands of dollars for a gown, get the hair done and all that. It's very expensive if you want to win. If you want to win. But you got to have that... And I don't have it to enter that pageant. I would never want to go. It's a week long? No. They had it in North Carolina in Charlotte. And it goes on and on and on. One day you might have gown. Next day you might have interview. Next day you might have talent. I mean, you're constantly going. I mean, it. And when you get back from it, you could see that you're wore out. I had a friend that went to North Carolina, and when they came back, they were like bones. They were like drained. I mean, it's something. You go. You have to go. It's all about the money, though, I think.
So is it the girls very, like, competitive with one another, or are they the more, like, you know, competitive in the moment, and then, like, when they go backstage, they're more...
In the moment, I think they're competitive in the moment, you know. They all try to beat each other. And, you know, when you're in competition, you got to do it. But I think a lot of them say, well, you're not my friend right now, so you're just a competitive person like I am, and they just going about it. But yeah, it's very competitive. You have to be on your tiptoes.
So what do they win? What do you get, like, other than like the title?
If you're a doctor, if you win Miss America, you're a doctor. You're no more a doctor until that year's up. You can't do anything, like if you're a dancer or whatever. When you become Miss America, you're Miss America. You're not a doctor, you're not a nurse, you're not a nothing. You completely, your life is Miss Gay America. That's how they run it. Yep, you have to put everything aside.
So they get like...
They get big money, and you get booked, like if they have a pageant here, it has to be the branch of Miss America. Like if they have Miss Virginia America here, Miss Gay America has to be here or somebody to represent her has to be at that pageant. And you travel, you go from place to place, you know. But I just can't do that. I can't have my face shaved every night. Oh God, can you imagine that? And the hair on your body, which I'm not hairy, but the hair on your body and stuff, God, really, I just don't see how. And you live out of suitcase. You live out of suitcase. But it's a big thing. It's a big thing.
So you mentioned that some pageants had like the swimsuit, but those mm-hmm. are the people who had like breasts and things like mm-hmm. that. So was there like a big difference between like pageants for like people who have done like, you know, surgeries and things, and then those who didn't?
Oh, it's definitely a big, you know, big. Well, it's the look, you know, the look of it. Like Miss God, what's the pageant? I was talking about Miss America pageant. You can't have breasts. You can have things done above the neck, but anything below, you can, like hips, you can do Miss Continental or something like that. You can have anything you want. Yeah, Miss America. They say you're a man first. And which I don't. Why are you dressing like a woman if you want to be a Miss? You know, I don't get that. I don't get that. That's the way they judge you on, man first, woman last. So, yeah, it's a. You have to. I don't know. It's something.
So have these like pageants and things like. Like they were pretty, like you said that you were like the first, you know, steamrolling. So these must have gotten like pretty big, like over
the years.
How do you feel about that? Are they televised? Are they pretty well attended and like? Save the date, you know.
I don't think they're televised. They do film them and stuff like that, but you can buy. From what I understand, you can buy the move, you know, the pageants. You can buy them like that. But I don't think they're televised. And sometimes they have like a Miss America on a show or something like that. Sometimes they do that. But the thing with Miss Rona pageant, I don't understand why they do interview. Because you're not on TV. They don't offer you anything like that. Why are you doing an interview? Just do a gown and a towel and leave it alone.
So you said in West Virginia you were dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have like mentors or people who like kind of like showed you the ropes? Did you eventually like start wearing makeup and things like that?
When I came to Roanoke, I started doing the makeup thing. But my best friend that in West Virginia, they started showing me things, you know, like that. You know, and my dad would always call him a sissy. I want you to wear that sissy. Sissy boy and stuff like that. Now that was my best friend, and he would always get on me for that, you know. But he showed me, my friend showed me the not the makeup, just the putting on the dress and stuff like that, and wig and stuff. But we never did makeup. Was one thing we never did, makeup.
And people were like, okay, like with you, like wearing dresses and things.
Well, they never seen. We always did it at nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah, we always.
So it wasn't like waited. Going to school.
No,
like
God, no. Child, I'm alive right now. Back to killed me. They would have probably stoned me. No, I never did do that. But they knew I was gay in school. I tried out for cheerleader, made cheerleader, but we integrated that next year, so I didn't get to do cheer. And I was always in the band, you know, I always did the band thing, but they paid me no attention, really.
So was it like a, don't talk about it, and like we know, but you don't talk about it, or like?
I don't think they really paid it any attention. You know, I really don't think, you know, they would see you and say, sissy or something like that to you. And that would be it. You know, they never made a big deal out of it. You know, they never bothered me or anything like that.
So no, like, bullying or anything like that?
No, oh, God, no. Like I said, I had a mean sister. And she was mean, and she would fight a bear. She was mean. Not mean as mean, but she didn't let nobody bother me. She was she next to me. I'm next to the old youngest. So it was my brother, then me, and then her. And she was really, really mean. You didn't bother me.
Are you and your brother, like, pretty,
pretty good.
Close?
Yeah, we're close. Mm-hmm. My whole family is. We're pretty much close. I have family reunions here every year. And they come here and have people, nieces, nephews. Everybody accepts me. Nobody bothers, you know. At least that I know of, nobody's seen anything behind my back. But, yeah, we get along real good. They don't bother me because they know I cut them off. I'm good at not speaking to you. Oh, Lord, I can ignore you. I hate to be like it, but I'm like that, you know. I'll cut you off in a minute. You could, this could be on fire and you stand there in the window. I'd rather go through the fire than speak to you if I'm mad at you. That's how I am. I mean, I'm sort of hard to forgive, you know. I'm sort of hard. But basically, I consider myself a very, very nice person.
So, you're very active in, like, the community here growing up. So, were you pretty active, like, in high school? Like, were you in a lot of clubs? We say you joined, you tried out for cheerleading.
Mm-hmm. I did cheerleading. Well, I went out and made it. But, no, just band was the only thing that I was activity in school. Never did drama or nothing like that, you know, at school, none of that stuff. No, I didn't fool with this stuff.
Did you have many friends or just like a few?
I had friends, yeah. The girls liked me, you know, the girls, we got along, and the boys, so-so, you know. But I had quite many friends in high school, gay friends. Mm-hmm.
Did you date in high school?
No. I'm still alive, remember? No, I didn't. No, I had to start dating when I came here.
Mm-hmm. So after you graduated high school, but before you moved here, were you working? Did you go to college or anything?
No, I didn't go to college, no. I worked, what was the question again?
Where were you, like, what was going on, like, between high school, graduating high school, before moving to Roanoke?
I worked, when I finished school, I went to work for the city. I was a water and sewage plant reader. I read the meters, water meters, and then I worked at the sewage plant at nighttime, taking care of the, you know, the water, testing the water and stuff like that at the water plant. So I did that for about a year. And then I moved to Roanoke. Mm-hmm. But I left home at 15. Me and my father didn't get along, so I ran away from home. And this lady in the community took care of me and put me through school and everything. And so I was working at Kroger's at that time when I left home. Kroger's, I worked there three years. Putting myself through high school and everything.
Yep. That's really nice. This lady in the community, like, did you know her well before?
Mm-hmm. I knew her. She had six boys, and she took me in. She took me in and made sure, treated me better than she treated her sons. But she treated me real well, and I admire her for that. You know, she passed away. But, yeah, I left home and got myself together. would speak to my father, like, and you know, I was on that diet, speaking diet, and he would be like, I had to catch the bus, he would be down in the roadway. I would go all the way up on the hill around the mountain, and I didn't speak to him for probably about 4 or 5 years, maybe. I would not speak to him, period. Wouldn't even go past him. And then when I went home from here, and I used to go around and see everybody in the community, and the lady, she said, "You know what the Bible say, honor your mother and your father." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I went and got, you know, we hooked, you know, we start talking, and I would go, then when I would go home, I'd go see him. I'd start seeing him, take him little gifts and stuff like that, and then he was in a house fire and got burned up. Mm-hmm. But we finally buried the hatchet.
So was it hard on the rest of the family, like when you guys weren't talking?
I don't think they really... Well, my baby sister knew it, that we weren't talking. But I don't think the rest of the family knew we wouldn't have... I didn't have anything to say to him, you know, do it. No, he pampered by brother more than he pampered. He would buy him a car, and he never bought me anything. So I just said, okay, I'm gone, bye. See you later.
How did they feel about you, like, leaving the house, like... such a young age.
The only one that was there was my younger brother. He was the only one there. He was the only one left at home. All my sisters had left, and he was the only one there. Me and him was the only one there. And so when my father got into a big fuss, I left. I said, "You ain't going to treat me no more like you treat..." No. I left immediately.
So where was your sister and your older brother? Mm. Were they still in the state, or did they go out of?
They were still here. Well, all of us was there until my sister came here. My baby, the one that took up for me, she came here, and my oldest sister, she followed her here, and I still have a sister in West Virginia. A marriage, she's married and everything. Yeah, that's the only one left out there.
So you guys seem pretty close. They come visit you, you go there.
I visit them. Mm-hmm.
Have they been to, like, any of your shows? Have they been to any of them?
No. my sister have. My baby sister have. And my brother has.
Mm-hmm. What do they think about it?
They don't pay no mind. They call me Carolyn. So.
Did they enjoy, like, the show?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Were you...
They were proud of me.
Were you happy to have them there? Nervous about what they would think?
No. I'm not a nervous person. You know that? Nothing bothers me. My sister told me, she said, "You know what? Nothing bothers you." I said, "No. What's the use of letting it bother for you? It runs up your blood pressure, gives you a heart attack, blah, blah, blah. Just say it's done and it's over with." I'm not a nervous type person. Never, never. If it had whatever day it happens, it's happened. And that's, I accept it.
So you said your father was in a fire?
Yeah.
Is that when he died?
That's what he died of. The community, something, fire was going up under the ground. It went from another house, three houses, did their house, and then it did the lady next to him houses. And then it got hit to his house, and I guess up under gas, I guess it was gas, and it blew his house up. And they say he was trying to get out, and he couldn't get out, and it killed him. Burned the whole house down. Left me nothing. I'm just kidding.
So you said you guys reconciled prior to his death.
We got together, and I started going to see him and stuff like that. I think he finally found out that I am who I am, and I'm not going to change, and he accepted, and I guess he accepted. I'm sure he did. Because I would go back looking like something from the city. Not nothing from the country, but something from the city. My whole appearance had changed. I guess he found out that I'm going to be me no matter what. And he went on with it. And that's what I'm glad I buried that hatchet with him. I really, really am.
I'm trying to... Your mom, she died after him, or?
No, she passed away in 67, I think. I was 15 when she passed away.
Oh, so you were pretty young. So this is before you moved out?
Oh, yeah, this was before. She was still alive, and I think I left because she had passed away, you know. Because she always took up for me, you know. I was a mama's boy, thank God. And I was her little princess. I would put her dresses on and run around the house while my daddy was at work. She said, boy, here comes your daddy. You better get out of that dress. I would fly and take a dress and jump one of her dresses off. She always said, but I was her, I guess, her princess. Yeah, she accepted me very well. But I was still young, too, but she accepted me very well. I'd love to for her to be here. To see what I've accomplished and, you know, my lifestyle, you know, I would love to hear. Well, him too, my daddy too. But I was a mama's boy.
Did he ever, like, find out about the dresses?
No. Absolutely not. No. No, I had that dress off. 1, 2, 3, and it was off. But, of course, it was big. And I was woof. And there was them old, you know, the old women had women dressing up, flare tail dresses. I used to love that thing.
So were they her dresses or the sister's
was her,
dresses?
They was her dresses. Mm-hmm. Okay. They was her dresses.
What do you think, like, if she had seen, like, you winning, like, Miss Gay Roanoke?
I think she would be proud. I think she would, I think she would say I raised a very well-mannered person, you know, son or whatever she would have called me. I think she would be very proud of me. And I think my daddy would too, you know. I think he would have been proud too. Because I had planned to bring him to my house and everything before he passed. But I think he would have been proud too. You know, I think he really, really would.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's bring it more recent.
Okay.
So how do you feel about, like, let's say, like, you know, like, the more recent, like, transgender movement and things like that.
But I'm for it, you know. If a person wants to do that, to, you know, I'm with it. I'm, you know, I'm for transgender and stuff like that. You know, I have several friends that's going through the transgender thing. And I'm for it all the way. I don't have any problem with it. Now, it's not for me. But now, if I was 40 years younger than what I am, I would be going through it too. But right now, it's not the thing for me. But I admire the people that do it. That's on them. I have been to some of the in-service they have over at the church, of the gay church. I go to that. I try to support it, you know, the best way I can. But yeah, it's no problem to me. I'm happy for them. If there's anything I could do for them, let me know. Yeah.
What about, like, I know there's been a lot of, like, controversy and, like, pushback about, like, transgender kids. Mm-hmm. And, like, them wanting to, like, either be on, like, testosterone or things like that. How do you feel about that?
I'm for it. I mean, I'm for that, too. You know, everybody has a way to live their life, and if they want to live it that way, I'm for it, you know. But I think it should be at a certain age, though. I think it, you know, I think once you hit maybe 10 or 12, I think you should know what you want to be, you know. And that mess about, oh, he'll grow out of it and she'll grow out of it, that ain't for me. I think either you're born gay or you're not born gay. I don't think you have to grow into it. I don't think anybody can convince me to be gay. Do you? What do you think about it? I'm questioning you now. But yeah, I think I think it's already in you, really. You know, I really do. I think it's already in you, and I don't think you. I don't know if you can change from that or not. You know, I don't know. I really don't know if you can change. You know, go back into that straight thing without. I think a lot of people try to, and they always bounce back into it, you know, to get married, have children, everything like that. And I always, if you people around the corner, you see them going where they ain't supposed to. Am I right or wrong? Yeah.
So, how have you been feeling with the recent change in administration? And I know, like, there was a lot of progress under the, you know, President Obama and things. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, how have you been feeling about this new, the last few years?
I've accepted it. I've learned to accept it. I'm for it. I like the way he changed, you know, the movement and whatever. I'm for that. Yeah, I'm for it.
And what about the recent, like, regression under this new...
do we have a president now? Do we? I don't have a president now. No, just kidding with that. But, I'm not into a lot of that stuff like that. You know, I'm not really... what's going to happen is going to happen, you know. If I go to Trump, tell him, blah, 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 he's going to look at me and say, okay. And going to pat me on the shoulder and say, okay, I'll do what I can. That's what he's going to do to me. But standing out with signs and marching and all this stuff, which I'm for some stuff, I think it's sort of useless in a way. I really do. I think it's sort of useless to certain things we should protest and certain things we shouldn't, you know. Rights, yeah, we should protest for our rights. But are we going to get our rights?
So you seem very, like, for things, but, like, you know, you wouldn't, like, identify as, like, an activist or anything like that.
If they ask me, I'm a, you have to invite me to things. That's the type of person I am. Because, like, I've been getting back to what I said before, people just don't like you stepping on their parade, you know, marching in their parade if they don't ask you. So you have to ask me to, will you do a show for me for this, a show for me? I would do it, but I don't like stepping on people's toes, you know, and that's the way it is now. People just want to be brag about what they done did, and, you know, they'll say, well, Miss Carolyn helped me do it. They don't want that. They just want to say, I did, and I just don't fool with that stuff. I don't. But if they ask me, yeah, I'll be active. I will. I'll help them out the best way I can.
So you're not really active in, like, the performing scene anymore, but you say you attend services at the gay church?
They had a thing for the transgender people, mm-hmm. and they wanted me to come down and put my input in, and so I did. But, yeah, I'm for it if they ask me, but if they don't ask me, I don't.
So what are you up to these days?
Now I work and come home. I stay away from the shooters. I don't like to go shopping no more. I don't like to go to the movies no more. I don't like to do nothing no more. I'm just scared of everything. You know, you're just scared of everything. I'm scared. Not scared. Well, I wouldn't say scared. But I'm leery of stuff like that. And I think just because you're gay, somebody's going to kill you, you know. Just for going shopping. I'm just leery of a lot of stuff. You know, like school, you can't go to school and have a decent education with somebody killing you. So I just stay at home, and if I get invited to something, to do something, I'll do it. But I don't really, I'm not out there like I used to be. Back in, you know, like I said, spent 34 years in that bar, and that was enough. I've seen everything. I've met everything. And so I'm just, yay, I've done it all. And I just stay at home. I stay home. That's what I do.
Are you still in any contact with friends from?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I still have my friends and stuff like that. I still do that. But I'm not as active, you know, out there like I used to be. Like when I worked at the bar, I met God. So many people, different people. You name it, I met it, you know. I met freaks, frogs, and frogs, froze and froze and frogs and frills and frills. I met everything, you know, all types of people, and I love that. I really, really love that. I love people. I really do love working with people. And I missed it in a way, but I would never do it again. Not for 34 years. When I quit that place at 34 years, I came outside and stayed outside at nighttime. I said, God, is this what happened at night? God, I said, it is a life out here. Yay! But I liked working at the bar, though. I loved it. I loved it. Like I said, I met different people, different styles, different races, different this, different that. I met it. And straight, gay, lesbians, whatever. I met it. And I loved it. I learned a lot from it, you know, from different people. And I wouldn't want to do it again. No. Don't you ask me to come work at your bar.
Sounds like you live a good life.
I have. I really have. Except for in my younger life. And I really think that was good, too. I have no regrets on that, you know, my young life. I have no regrets on that. And I have had a really good life. The Roanoke's been good to me. The gay life's been good to me. And job-wise, I've always got a, you know, pretty good job. And I always went from down to a higher supervisor or whatever, manager. So it's been good to me. Roanoke's been good to me. And my bosses, they know what I am and blah, blah, blah. And so, they said, well, hey, one boss told me, says, you can come as Carolyn, but you have to come every day as Carolyn. And I said, oh, no, I'm not. Uh-oh. I said, thank you, but I'll continue coming as me. No, that was my boss named Kitty. She was a good woman. She was a good one, good boss. I said, oh, I can do the shaving and all of that every day. Oh, God, no. And then you have to, you know, deal with straight people. You have to deal with them. And they already look, they look at me as a freak now. See me. I deal with a lot of different salesmen and stuff like that. And when they see me come, they go, we look for Calvin. I've even been to public places and go in the bathroom, in the men's bathroom, and they run out. The men will run out. I go, come on now, do I look that dumb to go into a men's bathroom if I was a woman? I have. And I had, when you come out, I had got a best friend, a lady, my best friend, she'll say, they was ever talking about you going in the men's bathroom. I said, I don't care. I said, that's what I am, you know, that's me. If I go into women's, they go fuss about it. If I go into men's, they'll fuss about it. So I guess I just start carrying a can around with me. But yeah, you know, that's stupid stuff like that happens to me. And when I go to eat, I mean, I have a little shouter, and they go, yes, ma'am, can I help you? Yes, ma'am. And my best friend, she said, I ain't paying no mind, I'm used to you. I said, okay, fine with you, fine. I don't pay no mind either. My life is pretty good, I'm happy, I'm content. And that's the main thing about it. I'm just happy and content with my life. I wouldn't change you for anything. And if I could go back maybe a couple of years, maybe 20 years ago back, and know what I know now, you know, I would be dynamite. Ooh.
What would you change?
Huh?
What would you change knowing what you know now?
Oh, God, I would, I would know my life better. I would know what to do with it, you know. I would probably go into not a college, but a little, what do you call them, colleges, not four-year colleges. What did it call?
Like vocational school?
Yeah, something like that. I would go to something like that and get a trade. I always wanted to do something like hair or something like, you know, get into that field. But I would know, they tell me pick up a curl there and I'd probably run outside and get a pitchfork or something. To say, this is what a curl there. But yeah, I'm very, very happy with my life. I love my life. Like I said, I'm content. I don't have nobody to bother me. I've been over here for 17 or 18 years, and I never had any incident with anybody. Nobody bothers me. I don't bother them, you know. You know, I'm just happy. I don't bother with, you know. I have one neighbor up the street that I talk to, but and my neighbor here, but everybody else, I don't. That wave at me, hey, but I don't want nobody knocking on my door for some eggs and sugar and milk and all of that. You know, our neighbors are. You know, that's what neighbors do. But I don't want that. I'm private. I'm very private. I'm a private person, and that's the way I live, private. I don't want anybody knowing my business. If they think they know it, fine. If they don't know it, fine. I'm just that. That's the way I am. I'm private. I don't get out there in the road in the middle of my yard and have a show, do a show for them. I'm just private. But I don't care if they know what I am, you know, if I am me, you know, if they think they know what I am. I've never been to bed with none of them, so they don't know what I am. But if they think they know, fine. As long as they don't bother me, and I won't bother them. That's the way it is.
Okay, so we're a little over an hour, so I guess we could
kind of... Oh, let's do two.
You got more to talk about, we could.
That's up to you. I'm just gossiping. I like talking.
Okay, so maybe kind of wrap it up. Is there anything that you like to see in the future and like in the community and the movement? I know like they're talking about like, you know, like the bathroom bill and rights and just like different, I know like, you know, gay marriage is now a thing. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you like to see?
Oh, Lord. No, not really. I think they're going through everything that I would like for them to do. I can't think of anything right offhand. I think my life is fine, but the other people's, but if I could do to help them, yeah, but no, I can't think of anything that I would like to have done. As far as the bathroom things and stuff like that, that's wishy-washy to me, you know. I think if you dress like a woman, you should be able to go into a bathroom, you know, a women's bathroom. And if you dress like a guy, you go into the guy's bathroom. But no, I can't think of any bills and things that that I need to add on. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think that we're
through.
You want to keep going? We can keep going.
That's up to you. That's up to you. If you've got more questions, yeah. But if you want to. That's up to you. I ain't got nothing to do.
I don't know.
It's up to you. I can text and say that I'll be a little bit longer. It's up to you.
I don't know. Is it going to mess up the timeline if I, like, start going back?
I don't see why not.
Okay. Well, I do kind of want to ask about, like, I know, like, street queens were a big thing. Uh-huh. Like, how... Now, I know, like, they talk about, like, you go, I heard, like, on some other interviews, they talk about, like, you go downtown, and they're just, like, everywhere, and, like,
how... Used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Used to be. Well, I was one of those.
Okay.
I was one of, back in the days, yes, I was. When I was saying about the market area, we used to go down there and carry on and stuff. Yeah, I was one of those.
What did that entail?
Oh, God. Finding a man. no. We was working. We was working. We was doing tricks back then. They call them tricks. Back then, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they ran us from the market, then they moved up to Salem Avenue. And then that's where I disappeared. I got out of the scene, you know, and I started working at the bar in my other job. Mm-hmm.
You said they ran you from the market.
They wouldn't let us come down there. They wouldn't let us come down there and stand and stuff, which we weren't down there doing anything mean. You know, we just go down there and stand, and whatever happens, it happens. But they ran us. They told us we couldn't stand around down there, and so we went up to Salem Avenue. And I went out on Salem too much because I had to start working at the bar, and it was, you know, cutting me my lifestyle out from there, so. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Back then, I was, like, this small. I was real tiny. They used to call me mop legs and stuff like that, but I was real tiny. And back then, I was, I was small and attractive, and, you know, I had a lot of boys after me and stuff. That's why I had five boyfriends and stuff like that. So, but it was interesting. And then I got out of it. I just got out of it. Well, it got so bad, you know, where they were killing you and shooting you. I had a friend that has been stabbed, shot, and everything from there. And that's, I got out of the business. I said, this, I have to find a better business to go into.
So did that just kind of become progressively worse? So was it, like, relatively safe, like, in the beginning?
In the beginning, it was safe. And then they would rob you, they would try to rob you and stuff like that. And that's when I got out. But then when in the early days, no. But after you know, went on and on, they started trying to rob you and killing you and stuff and stabbing you and cutting you, shoot you, whatever. And I said, not today. It's not for me no more. But we had fun doing it. It was exciting. It was interesting.
So when you got out of that business, what did you do for money then?
I started working at the park.
Okay.
I started working at the park, and then I had a regular job at Lewis Gale. I was working there. And so that's when I stopped doing it. It just went out of my, and I never got too good or nothing like that. People say, you know, I thought I was better than them and stuff like that because I didn't do it no more. It wasn't that me. I could care less, you know, about it. You know, do you, do me. I could, you know, if you do it, fine with me. I'm not going to knock you for doing it. I mean, you know, everybody's got to live in some kind of way, you know. And that's their way of living, so I was for it.
Mm-hmm. So when you started performing, did you have people, like, to help you out? Like, you know, help you do your, figure out makeup?
No,
and,
I
like,
had nobody.
Nobody, like, who was... Mm-mm. Because I know, like, a few other people would talk about, like, you know, they were kind of, like, people were like, yeah, you gotta do it. Like, you're really, you can do this.
Yeah,
like, and they, like, mentored them and teach them all this stuff. And
yeah, I mentored a few people, but nothing major. I showed them how to put the makeup on, eyelashes and stuff like that. But nothing major. I never took anybody and put them under my wing and say, you're my daughter, you're my this, you're my that. Never did do that. Because once, I think, I've always seen... people, once they put on makeup, certain people, they thought they knew everything, you know. They knew how to do this, they knew how to do that, they knew how to do this. And so, you know, that just pushes you back from them. Say, okay, you know how to do it then, okay, fine with me. Yeah, but once they put on that makeup, oh, they know everything. They know Cheryl Tiggs and all the models and stuff like that. So I just back off from them, you know. That's the type of person I am. If I'm trying to help you and you don't want, and you just give me the thought that you don't want me, I'll back off from you. Go on, help yourself. It's your loss, not mine.
So we heard people talk about, like, they had, like, families, like, within, like, the performing, like, you know, they get a mentor and then they get a... they mentor someone else, and it's kind of a family. So you never...
No. I had, well, I did have a couple of daughters that I helped out a little bit. But like I say, they went on about their own. But I did have a couple of daughters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did have that. But and, like, they just got too grown, and they went on, you know, they went on. I said, okay, fine with me. But they still come back and ask me, well, can I borrow? It's not help, it's can I borrow, you know. I said, take it out the closet and gone, and I never see it again. That's amazing. See, I never see nothing again. That's why I like people to borrow stuff from you. But that's, I don't have any. I have a couple of daughters, and that's it.
So do you have any, like, your friends now that you still, are they still, do you have any friends who are still active within the community performing or otherwise?
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah. Quite many. Well, quite a few of them, yeah. But they divided when the park was sold or whatever. It divided, you know, the ones that I knew from the ones that's now. From what I understand, the ones at the bar now don't want the old people performing and this person performing and that person performing, but the new people, like at the Jefferson, where I performed at the Jeffersons, they want the older people and stuff like that. That's what they want. So I just say, oh, well, more power to you.
So you mentioned a few times that, like, you know, people need help. Do you volunteer or anything like that?
What, volunteer to help them?
Yeah, I know you said you went to an event at the church. So do you do things like that often if people...
No, like, not only if they ask me. Okay. Only if they ask me, yeah. If they ask me to help them, I'd be glad to help them. But they don't ever ask, so... I guess because I'm just to myself, I'm quiet and, you know, I just don't... I'm not out there, you know, with them. And they never... They ask, they don't, you know. But I'll help them if they ask. I would like to get into the, you know, that type of stuff, but it's too one-sided for me, you know. It's just one year with the Pride of the Park, it's the girls, the lesbians want to take off. Then one year it's the gay guys want to take, then the next year this one, and it's just, and they don't want this one to perform, they don't want that one to perform, and then they go out of town and pay somebody out of town to come here, money to do it. You got girls here that would like to perform, but you don't pay them. And just like going back to the bar. In the bar, they pay all these entertainers to come in from out of town. They pay them big money. But they want to pay the people that perform here. I don't perform there, but they pay them zero. And I go, why do y'all do that? I'm not going down there and do nothing free. I think I'm just as much better than Miss whoever come in from out of town. Yeah. And it's just so one-sided to me, you know. It's just, and I don't fool with that stuff. I really don't get into it. Mm-hmm. No, I try to stay away from that controversy. It's too much.
So, looking at, like, the people you frequently impersonate, like, Jan Jackson, Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin, like, is there a reason that you chose those people? Like, were there people, like, you were, like, really interested in? Or like, had you gotten that, like, oh, you kind of resemble such and such?
The music. I like their music. You know, the music. I was interested in their music, the songs and stuff like that. I try to go by what I think the people like, you know. That's what I try to go by with, you know, the popular songs, you know, they gonna like that. If I come up and do, now if I do something about Aretha Franklin now, they go, God, who in the world is that? They go, who is Aretha Franklin? But you have to go along, you have to go along with the age of the music, the more modern music. And some people like older music, some people do. But these young kids these days, they're not trying to. They don't support you in any kind of way when it comes to that. I noticed last time I was at the bar, I used to make, and I'm not bragging, but I used to make buku tips. Oh, God, I used to come home with some money. But I made some, but not very much like I used to make. The young kids, they don't support you. Mm-hmm. But the older people do. Older, you know, they know about what you got to go through in drag, the, you know, the makeup, the hair, the gowns, and they know what you spend. But the younger group, they don't know nothing about it. They don't think they want to be as pretty. That's what they want to be. They don't care about stuff like that. But going back to I do with the music to what's more popular now. That's what I do.
So was there a lot involved? Like, I'm thinking, like, makeup, costumes, like, a lot of practice, I'm assuming. Like, was it, like, intensive?
Some of the music is, yeah. It like, if I used to be in a group called Bow Ties from the park, and they would give you, you know, like, Broadway music. They would give you a number to do, like, a Broadway number. Oh, God, I've never learned this song because I never heard it before. But that's intense when you gotta try to figure out what you're gonna do, what you're gonna wear back then in Broadway type stuff. So it can be, yeah. If you don't like the song if you give me a song to do that I don't think I like doing, it ain't gonna go over very well with me. You know, I'm not gonna perform it at my best. You know, I don't think I will. I'll try to, but, you know, I just won't perform it good. But if it's something I like and that you gave me, I'd like it. Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll do that for you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you said this group, the Bow Ties, like,
mm-hmm.
is that, like, did you have to, like, audition to be a part of this group, or was it,
It was just for all the entertainers that wanted to do something, you know, do the show. And it was really good. We went to D.C. We went up to D.C. We took the group, well, we went to D.C. on the year that Redskins won Super Bowl, whatever year that was. God, that was moons ago. You know, it was moons ago. And they paid us no mind. Oh, Lord, I was so upset. It was like, Super Bowl, yeah, Redskins. That's all you could hear through the whole, but what about the Redskins? Oh, God, we came up here for nothing. Spent all that money and stuff for nothing. But, yeah, it was a pretty good group we had going on.
Did you do group performances?
Yeah, we did group. We did singles. We would do a single. He would do let us do a single number, and then we would do a Broadway number. Stuff like that. It was interesting. It was very interesting. I enjoyed it. I wish they had kept it up, but it folded into like everything else folds.
I think we're kind of winding down here.
Okay.
Alrighty. I don't know. I know you talk about you talked about how if you could go back knowing what you know, mm-hmm. but just looking back, anything you would change or anything that was particularly memorable?
God, anything I would change? I don't think so. I don't think I would change anything because, like I say, I've had a pretty good life. Except for my early life when I was, you know, left home. But that wasn't bad, you know, that wasn't the bad part. But, no, I don't think I would change anything in my life. I really don't think I would.
Okay, so, like, other than Miss Gabe Roanoke, the infamous title, what's, like, the proudest thing or, like, your best accomplishment or...
I think Miss Gabe Roanoke.
I
would like to have had Miss Virginia. But I wasn't, I didn't have the money for that, you know, the money you have to spend on that pageant, because that's a very expensive pageant. But I would like to have Miss Virginia. Or Miss America, Miss Gay America would have did, but I would have never gotten there. Never. Yeah, that's about the only thing I would like to have done was won Miss Virginia.
Mm-hmm. All right, but I didn't. Really nice interview. Thank you so much.
No problem. You're more than welcome. I enjoyed you. I hadn't talked to my mom in days. Good God Almighty.